You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
March the 13th, 2020. March 13th, 2020. Do I need to tell you that it is Friday the 13th for those of you who were worried about Friday the 13th? And here we are in the midst of this coronavirus scare, concern. Or you just kind of reached the point where, you know, I'm already tired of it. I couldn't care less. It's not going to bother me. I'm not sold out on it. I'm not going to be in fear of it. And yet others are saying, sky's falling, sky's falling. Somewhere in between those two is where we need to settle. It's a reality that has to be faced. The latest report from the World Health Organization is about 140,000 cases documented, 5,000 deaths. Inside the states, we've got something like 24 deaths, I believe, is the last documentation. Let me check it. I think they just updated it. It still seems to be holding at that number at this point. Ethiopia and Sudan now confirming their first coronavirus cases. And yes, there are numerous folks who have had contact with President Trump in one fashion or another, either directly or via one, two persons separating them, and they've come down with it. And no, at last report, we do not have the President Trump has submitted or is taking part in any coronavirus testing. He is constantly monitored by the doctors around him. If they see that he's not looking well, a little peakish, a little high in temperature or flush, they're going to check it anyway. But here's what the president's concern now might be, and this will be a whole new ball game for those ball games already being canceled. Is the president considering banning commercial passenger travel inside the U.S., planes inside the U.S., buses inside the U.S., trains inside the U.S., and I don't mean just going from city to city, but commuter trains as well up in the Northeast. We're going to get into that. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. We're going to focus on every possible aspect, including the rush on toilet paper. I continue to get pictures from folks sending, look at this, these shelves would be full, but they're empty. Well, I'm going to tell you before we finish this segment, before we go to the first break out of this segment, the next item that's going to be in hot demand, so you might want to rush out and get this one before anyone else does. I'll tell you about it in just a moment. But for this hour, coronavirus is a pandemic. It is a worldwide disease. Is it being properly handled on the health level? On the political level, the government levels? Is it being over-exaggerated on each of those levels, sensationalized on each of those levels, and don't forget the role of the press? I talked to someone the other day that I truly respect, and he says, I blame the media. Well, I said, the media didn't start this. I mean, we're reporting it. It's got to be reported. And failure to report it, then we get accused of covering it up. It's a thin line. But how you report it and sticking with the facts. We do know it's being politicized. Democrats looking for anything they can use against this president, and they're now using basically the communist Chinese as a playbook to attack President Trump and how he has and is handling the coronavirus. We'll break that down in the second hour. And also, all of this has exposed a weakness in our national security when it comes to keeping Americans safe and healthy. And so what are we doing? Well, we're shutting all these major sporting events down. The other day, when they first announced the NCAA, then the NBA, and then the news could come. Sure enough, here came hockey. Right behind that, MLB, the Olympics, talking about doing that. We got St. Paddy's Day parades being canceled. The city of St. Louis came up with a statement, no more than 1,000 at a meeting. Where did they come up with that number? No more than 1,000. What if you have 999? Okay, no more than 999. What if you had 993? I mean, that's just an arbitrary number. All right, and I told you about the rush on toilet paper. The shelves are empty. The next big item that could be selling out quickly, and if you don't have one, you might want to run out and get one. All this rush on toilet paper. A lot of toilet paper. You do know what happens when you put too much toilet paper in at one time. Aha! Toilet plungers. That's going to be the next big deal. If you don't have a toilet plunger, you better go out and buy one. In the meantime, make friends with your plumber. And this could make every plumber in the nation a multi-millionaire before it's over with. There is a silver lining. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Our job as an American public, as health officials, and all of us in America, is to cooperate to do two things: to prevent new infections from coming in,
right,
and to deal with the ones that we have,
right,
by containment and mitigation. So even though you can make a projection that the possibility that you're going to have these many infections, what you need to do is to try and get this peak, which we know occurs if you don't do hardly anything, to become a smaller hump.
Sure.
That hump will still have a lot of people getting infected, but a lot of lives will be saved and a lot of suffering will be avoided. That's the goal of what we're doing.
And then the words of Dr. Anthony Fauci. He is the head of the National Institute of Infectious Diseases. And he also addressed a question about could we possibly see 70 to 150 million Americans with coronavirus. Doesn't say they'll be sick, that they can't even get out of bed. Doesn't say it will lead to fatalities. We'll get to that answer from him in just a moment. But as I mentioned at the beginning in the monologue, the question for President Trump has been raised. Let me get the exact question the way it was phrased. There's so much material. He was answering some questions at the White House earlier today. Reporter, are you considering travel restrictions within the U.S.? The president said, we haven't discussed that yet. Is it a possibility? Yes, if somebody gets a little bit out of control, if an area gets too hot. He said it would be the right thing. But if it's not necessary, probably not. By hot spots, they're talking about areas like Washington State, where they've had a number of cases already, and California is showing a few more cases. But pretty soon, if it's going to be across the nation, I mean, are you talking about banning commercial passenger travel inside the U.S.? Now, stop and think about this for a moment. If we reach that point, what if you make a trip somewhere, as my daughter and her family are planning, one of my daughters and their family are planning on doing over the spring holiday? They're going to stay inside the states, and they've been concerned, of course, about being on the plane for the period of time, but they think they're going to be in an environment that's pretty open, and they're not that worried at this point, and I don't think they should be. But then if they shut down commercial traffic on the way back, then they're going to have to come up with a car. And if there's a rush on cars, how are you going to get one? In other words, could you be stranded where they are? Oh, well, I get a call in the middle of the night, Daddy, can you come pick us up? Whatever. But it's a real possibility if you're making a travel trip of some type. Businesses will probably start reevaluating sending anyone out on a particular meeting inside the U.S. if they have to worry that any moment the trigger could be pulled. Now, generally, if it's going to be pulled like that, well, there will be some delay time, some warning time, as we saw with the president when they announced the ban on international travel coming in from 26 different countries in Europe. And, of course, if you were inside the contiguous states, you could still get back one way or the other. If you're in Alaska, you'd be able to drive back, secure this route. If you're in Hawaii, surf's up, more time there at the surf, I guess. And, of course, don't forget, President Trump has already taken numerous hits when he came out with the initial travel ban regarding China. This president took action within weeks as we began to see this thing break the surface. The disease began inside Wuhan, China. Inside Wuhan, China. Now, we're going to get into that more in the next hour because, again, the very fact that I just said it began in China makes me xenophobic, makes me a racist, makes me look like I'm blaming this whole thing upon the Chinese. Well, that's where it began. I don't know who you blame past that, but you look at the origin. That's common. Just simple facts, ma'am. But for the leftists, oh, no, no, there you go again. You're going to create a fear of the yellow menace. You watch. But when the president decided to do this, he did it before anyone else had considered it. And when he did stop travel from China at that point, saying we're shutting down all traffic coming direct from China, and any coming via other ways, we're going to try to check and make sure they're properly documented, vetted, and free of disease the best we can. But when he made that decision, you would have heard the left start wailing and gnashing of teeth that once again you're proving you're a xenophobe and you don't care about the world, you only care about the U.S. Well, stop it right there. He is president of this country. He's not president of the world. And yes, his first obligation, as sworn and under the Constitution, is to this country, our health, our national security. But anyway, when he made that statement, when he decided we are going to shut down traffic coming out of China, that's before he decided to move and include Europe in general. The Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar has nothing but praise that the president did it when he did it.
Thank God he took that action. It was strong action. It was bold. It was unprecedented action. You know, we, at that time, we had fewer than 20 novel coronavirus cases here in the United States. China had less than 10,000. But he took that strong action to protect the American public, and boy, did he take heat for it. Took a lot of heat for it. But now everyone's looking back. The experts who advised him to do that, like Dr. Tony Fauci, say, you bought us valuable time by taking that strong action, Mr. President. You were brave. It was unprecedented. But you protected the American public health there by what you did.
My God, you cannot repeat that enough. That is the Health and Human Services Secretary. And he, in turn, was quoting Dr. Fauci, as we were hearing from a moment ago, from the National Institute for Infectious Diseases, saying, Mr. President, you bought us valuable time. you bought us a chance to try to start gearing up and see what we've got to deal with here. If he had not shut it down, we would have, and the numbers, I did check the latest numbers at this point. In the U.S., 500 cases documented. Documented. Now, there may be many others out there yet to be documented. And yes, this issue over how many testing kits are available, we're going to get into that as well in a moment. But generally, folks, it just, you know, they feel a little malaise. I feel kind of tired more than normal. Maybe I got a low temperature. Maybe I got a raspy throat. I don't know if I got coronavirus or I was just out yelling too much last night because my St. Paddy's Day parade got canceled. For whatever reason, you don't feel well. But if we had not shut this down, we would have more than 500 cases documented at this point. And we've had 22 deaths in this nation, most in Washington State. And when it comes to travel, maybe you talk about banning commercial traffic inside the U.S. It would be not going into and out of those hot zones. No planes, no buses, no trains. As opposed to nationwide. Or then again, maybe it's going to have to be nationwide if he does it. The president is already saying he's going to hold a news conference a little bit later here. I've been kind of waiting. It's scheduled at 2 o'clock our time. We will be off the air by the time it airs. I'm sure you'll be paying attention. And we will see then if he's going to take this step to initiate some ban on travel, commercial passenger travel, inside our nation. And what areas could or would not be affected. And you what? You are going to hear complaints and bitching from all of the left again because they're going to say, he's not doing enough. He's doing too much. Now he's, Stephanie, they will never acknowledge the man so far has done everything right. Everything right. And I don't mean just his appointees of the Human Health Services Secretary, Dr. Azar, you heard a moment ago, praising him for it, say it was bold action and needed. But then Dr. Fauci with the National Institute of Health, he's not appointed by the president. And there he is saying, you bought us valuable time. And in the meantime, he's been pushing several measures to help our U.S. economy. It's on a roller coaster again today in Wall Street. But it's been climbing back up again. And it may take another fall. And of course, we had the oil war going on between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And if there's less dependence on oil, less planes flying, less need for oil, for vehicles and so forth, then that's going to put more pressure on gas prices. You're going to start seeing them, and I've seen signs already, under $2 a gallon. And I don't mean by a penny or a half a penny. I mean in around 180 mark. And the president's pushing again for several measures to help out. He's looking for things that would include payroll tax relief, government aid to small businesses. Mnuchin the other day, just a few moments ago, was coming out talking about where they're standing on trying to put this together. He says it's like we're at second base trying to get home. He said we got 100 things to do on a possible package. The president wants a stimulus package to help. And you know what they're throwing into it? Because here come the leftists again. Throw in student debt, by the way. Get rid of student debt. Well, they're talking about suspending student debt for 3 months. That'll help the students. I have no problem with that. I have no problem whatsoever. Suspending, not canceling, not giving it free as a penalty for all those who paid their student debt. And then I hear them shout and complain again, well, he's helping the big corporations. That would be things like the airlines, the carnival, cruise industries. Yes, those are big industries. Hotels, yes, big industry. And they employ all the, quote, little people, middle income, and others, give them their jobs. If you don't help them sustain and make up some of this, you're going to see massive layoffs. No one wants to do that. We have been clicking along great. This is nothing that has been done on a political level that is hurting us. It's not even another country directly. It's a disease and the acceleration of it and the concern and the fear and maybe, yes, some sensationalism. And, yes, maybe some of that gets down to the U.S. and our concerns and how we're treating it. And I mentioned a moment ago, there are predictions that you're going to see out of a nation of 330, 340 million documented citizens, we may see 70 to 150 million Americans with coronavirus. The response from Dr. Fauci for the National Institute for Infectious Diseases.
You know, you really have to be very careful when you make predictions based on models, these models. Models are as good as the assumptions that are put into the model. I'm not downplaying anything. We have a serious situation here, which I'd like to get back to. But let me explain those numbers. When people do modeling, they say, well, let's say this percentage of the population gets infected. And then let's say this and this and this. And they'd have a big bracket of the low level and the high level.
Right.
More often than not, the high level is way, way off. But sometimes it's not. So even though you could say we're going to have a lot more infections, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be infected, the critical issue is what are you going to do about it? And that's what we're doing now. We're doing things that are interfering with the natural flow of infection. Because if you leave the virus to its own devices, it will go like this, and then it'll go way, way up and then come back down. How do we know that? We see it in China. We're seeing it a little bit now in Korea. And we likely, with all a lot of suffering they're going through, we're going to also see it in Italy.
So the natural progression of the disease is it will go away. But we don't want to wait for it to just go away. We can do something. And now, what about the questions, the concerns, the complaints? Not enough testing kits. It's not being handled right. We'll take a break, and we'll get into that aspect of the story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me begin by making a correction. I don't need to make excuses, but obviously in this case, I was citing numbers a moment ago saying we had more of something like 500 plus cases in the U.S. I meant 1,500. I just misread my number. That's no excuse. It's a fact. I made a mistake. It's more than 1,500, maybe closer to 1,600. The president, while we were speaking in that last segment, the word is coming out of the White House now that this announcement I told you he's going to be making here coming up at, 2 o'clock Central Time? Yeah. He is apparently expected to declare a national emergency at that point. Now, what does that do? What unlocks a lot of FEMA monies and everything for the states that haven't already said they're overwhelmed and need additional help. It puts a lot of resources in play, and it might include, we'll wait to see, maybe restricting to some extent passenger travel, commercial passenger travel inside the states. That's yet to be seen, but the question had been raised from the very beginning that we don't seem to have enough test kits. And why don't we have them? And where are they? They're not being dispersed right. Well, in the beginning, the CDC was trying to handle that. Then it became clear that just get them to the states, let the states make some decisions. But again, here's Dr. Fauci's statement on how and why things unfolded the way they did.
The system that was built, that the CDC, when they made their test, is more for a public health type of response where they give this test to the state and local public health groups. When a person comes into an office with a doctor, they order a test. That system worked very well for other situations.
Mm-hmm.
When you have something where you need a much broader display of tests throughout the country, you have to have a different system. And the different system is a system that involves the public sector and private individuals to get involved, where everybody steps to the plate. So what we're doing right now is getting the private sector involved, the companies that make a living doing these tests, getting them involved and looking forward. You're right. Going back, the situation was not optimal. It didn't function the way we'd like it to have functioned. But going forward right now, with the private sector involved, you're going to see a major escalation of capability of getting people tested when they want it.
And add to that, with the president holding this conference coming up at 2 o'clock Central Time, and if he decides to issue a national emergency, it would free up additional federal funding and set up the FEMA agency, Federal Emergency Management Agency, in motion to deal with all the states and their numbers. The president, again, has said, I don't want to do it unless it's necessary, but it's going to become apparently necessary to declare the emergency and make it a broader. And when he does, he has the authority under the Stafford Act that would unlock additional resources, supplies, logistics help, but it's still going to be up to individual states to make a request to the administration and then tailor what they need to their needs. So this story continues to unfold and develop. And there's another story within this, and that is how we have basically put ourselves at the mercy of China when it comes to medical supplies.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're changing gears rapidly here. I have a sponsor of this program, been with us for 5+ years, Wellington Environmental. And what they do is move into cases where there's suspicions of disease, other things. They sanitize, they check what the issue is, put down shields, protection, things of this nature. I've been after Tom Wellington to appear on this program in the midst of this coronavirus, and I know two things that he's been facing. One, he doesn't want to make it look like he's playing on the concern out there, and yet that's what this business does, as do other businesses, and also the fact that they've been very busy with numerous calls, different facilities everywhere from, well, Tom, what kind of businesses have you been dealing with that suddenly have decided they need to ramp up infection control?
Well, hey, Larry, thanks for having me on. And as you know, we've been in the hospital arena healthcare for 33 years, and now all of a sudden, with specialized disinfection and infection control practices. But now with COVID-19, more and more of our clients that are either the publicly traded or institutional or even clinics and things like that are now interested in making sure their surfaces and their buildings are safe for their occupants, whether or not they have COVID virus or not. They just want to make sure and send out an assurance to all their people that they have properly disinfected common spaces of their buildings.
And you're talking about manufacturing industries, you're talking about various meeting places, things of this nature in general, right?
Everything.
So, today, later, the president is probably going to announce, I just had it up a moment ago, probably going to declare a national emergency. What's your view and take on that as to where, what you've seen and how the response is needed? The government can only do so much. Private industry such as Wellington Environmental are going to have to step up and help with the, fill the gap.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been in a licensing. One of my licenses was going to expire. I had to be in one of those refresher-type classes all morning, so I've missed anything that's been in the news this morning. But, you know, I think the president's trying to do everything he can. The unfortunate thing is this is spreading very fast. It can spread very fast. Are we bringing it out of context? You know, nobody really knows. I hear people from Harvard. I hear one guy from Harvard that says, you know, we're going to have a high population count that's going to be infected. And then I hear somebody else from a different division at the same school saying a lower count. So I don't know, and I don't think anybody really knows.
Well, your job isn't to determine what the number is going to be, but what do we do to diminish a possibility of it?
Yeah, and what we're currently doing for the most part is with our hospital-grade disinfectants is applying them either through a fogging-type machine or through electrostatic processors that bring it down to a very small, tiny particle so that we're not damaging surfaces but still disinfecting those surfaces that may have a virus or bacteria on them and kill that.
I know you're getting some calls from folks who say, would you come give us a look, give us an appraisal or something of that nature, but are you also getting some that almost sound like they're on the border of a panic?
You know, that's a great question. I think most people have been pretty level-headed about it, but I know just while I've been in this class, I've received calls from buildings that you'd recognize and from companies you'd recognize right off the bat, where they want their plans together, and some are going ahead and doing it, and some are on standby.
Well, as you're talking, it just crossed the state of emergency now declared by St. Louis County. So we're going to see more of this happen. And so obviously more of a need for environmental-type services like yours. I pointed this out the other day, and I told the audience then that your guy just wants to do the job and so forth, and you have a name out there partly because of this program, obviously mainly due to all the work of you and your staff. But I would imagine there are a lot of others that I'm going to raise the issue, and I'm going to let you answer it the way you want. Scams that might surface for some folks rushing around suddenly saying, we can come in and sanitize an area for you.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I hope that doesn't happen. But we have been blessed to be in this arena, infection control services, for 33 years. And we've written papers. We've been involved in research. We're out of town at major hospitals doing things. And so it's really helped us, because we certainly understand the chemicals, we understand the bacteria and the viruses, and we know what it takes to really do the right type of job. And you know what? It's pretty fast anyways.
It's what?
We think, it's not even as expensive as some, because it's so fast.
All right. Well, I know you've been reluctant to even do an interview on it because you didn't want to look like you're trying to capitalize on it, but I think it's important they know that you and other groups like you are available. And, Tom, I want to thank you. In fact, to prove it to the audience, not going to give you a phone number, but it is Wellington Environmental. You can look it up yourself on a website or whatever, but Wellington Environmental, but at least you have some insight of those who are trying to go in and lay down a permeation, take care of what's there, and then obviously what you do, by the way, is not just remove, but you end up sanitizing it and maybe disinfecting for a period of time, because we're hearing this coronavirus can last up to 3 to 5 days on an aluminum surface.
Yeah, and unfortunately, yesterday we heard that now it can last in the air for up to 3 hours, and that's new in the fact that it can stay airborne.
All right. Well, Tom, again, thank you, and I really appreciate you acceding to do the interview and help us give a good understanding on this.
Thanks, Larry, and I love the bumper music.
We have a lot of great bumper music, don't we? I get comments from guys in D.C. all the time and say, I love listening to your program just for the bumper music. Well, you know I personally select that, and I let Quentin put it together for me. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. Alrighty. Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental. Again, I'm not trying to sell anything at this point. They are a sponsor, have been with me a long time. They have a branding, and this is what they do. But he had just not really wanted to do it because he was afraid it would look like I'm trying to step in and take advantage of it. But companies like this are going to be needed. If you need to use it, want it, that's up to you. We talked about a moment ago, and I don't have a lot of time to spend on it, but the issue we're having with too much reliance on China for some of the drugs and the needs we have dealing with coronavirus and so forth. Senator Rubio of Florida talked about, you know, how many drugs are tied into China that we had to wait and how we got there. Senator Rubio.
The truth is we don't know the actual complete number. Here's what we do know. About 80% of the active ingredients, you know, the different components of a drug, about 80% of those come from abroad, and the overwhelming majority of that 80% are manufactured in China. So the drug may ultimately be assembled here, but all the components of it, we rely on China for it. So just as an example, a few years ago, there was an explosion at a laboratory in China, and it disrupted the global supply of certain antibiotics. So these are not just COVID-19, you know, coronavirus drugs we're talking about here. We're talking about things people use on a daily basis, especially generics.
And the question you have to go to immediately, Senator Rubio, how do we get in the position where we have so much of our drug dependency on China?
We allowed offshoring for years. You know, the market basically said, well, it's cheaper to make it over there. Let's make it over there. It's more profitable for the companies. So not only did we lose those jobs in the United States, we lost this capacity. And now we don't know if there are going to be shortages. We anticipate there will be in certain drugs because those factories have been shut down because of the virus.
Now, that is one of the stories that broke in the midst of all of this, that a lot of us were unaware of how much dependency we had upon China. And now that we know, and now we're dealing with coronavirus, and the virus did originate in China, and we're going to get into that in the next hour because the leftists and the mainstream media are making it appear that if you point that out, you're xenophobe and you're trying to demolish an Asian society or Chinese society simply by making the connection. But China already, according to Senator Rubio, is kind of making its own communist threat against us at this point.
Their official newspaper, the Communist Party, wrote an op-ed basically mocking the United States, saying you should be thanking us, you should be apologizing to us. If we cut you off from your drugs, you guys would fall off the cliff and go into some inferno. I forgot the language they use now. They actually specifically singled out Florida as part of it. So what it tells you is that they realize that in a moment of crisis, let's say the U.S. and China have a showdown over something, and they can threaten to cut us off of our pharmaceutical supplies, they could trigger a domestic problem here that would make it difficult for us to confront them. It's a tremendous amount of leverage. So we need to invest and make available investments and flow investments into rebuilding that capacity in places where we have critical shortages, not just pharmaceuticals, but rare earth minerals all across the board. It's good jobs for Americans, and it's good for our national security and economic security.
And to that extent, the article Senator Rubio is referring to had stated, we should say righteously that the U.S. owes China an apology. The world owes China a thank you. That's because we'd mentioned so many times it originated in China. And because we're actually documenting the fact of where it originated, that we have been trying to basically slander and slur Chinese, that's not the point at all. But, of course, the left and mainstream media like to carry that message. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. There are some interesting, and I do mean some interesting silver linings that can be found in the midst of all of this. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take a closer look at that part of the story in a moment.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yesterday, we had Dr. Rick Lehman on with us, and he is a member of the International Olympic Committee. And we were talking then about the possibility, would the Olympics be canceled or postponed? And he said, well, there'll be a vote at some point. Well, President Trump has now suggested that they do postpone the Olympics for a year because of coronavirus. Japan's Olympic minister is immediately shooting that down, saying we're not considering cancellation or postponement, not at all. And, of course, we continue to see different heads of state around the world that have been exposed for coronavirus, one of them being the Brazilian president, Bolsonaro. He has tested positive for the coronavirus, and he did meet with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago recently. He's in good health. It's just that he tested positive. And, of course, that raises questions again. What about President Trump? Well, again, he appears to be in good health. And what's going to be the reaction if they decide to run a test and he proves positive? What's that going to change or do? The left, I think, I'm afraid, would be gleeful about it. But the bottom line is, I don't think it'd change anything. If anyone's going to get great health treatment for someone, especially that age, I think it's going to be President Trump, understandably. Now, speaking of an age like that, one of the silver linings coming out of some of this at this point is The View, the TV show The View. No, I've never watched it. Never. I see snippets of it. I lift snippets of it off from time to time when Whoopi Goldberg goes crazy on something. Or Joy Behar, she's the other one. Joy Behar is 77, and she has now announced she's going to take a leave of absence because of the fear of coronavirus. She says, I'm in perfect health, but I am 77. I'm in that vulnerable group, and my daughter asked that I get off the program for a while, so I'm going to do it. And then she could not help but point out, but look at President Trump. He does not inspire confidence. I could hear him breathing. Is there a microphone in his nostrils? It speaks to somebody who's not in great health. He's been exposed to a few people who now have coronavirus. Constantly harping, sniping, attacking from the left as the president tries to deal with his issue. And he is going to have a news conference coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon after we will be off the air. And he'll be issuing whatever statement he wants at that point. But supposedly it's going to be to declare a national emergency. Whether that will include suspending or restricting or redirecting commercial passenger traffic inside the states, planes, trains, we'll have to wait and see. Buses. Or at least maybe going into some hot zone. Say we're going to cease travel going into those areas via commercial operations. I was also, Dr. Lehman, I'd been talking the other day about, I just read to you a moment ago, St. Louis County has declared a state of emergency. And I raised the question, is can you be ordered to stay in your home on a health quarantine? And he said, generally not. But now that they're moving up to this state of emergency, there could be demands. But how are you going to do that? You're going to have to verify everyone that you're telling stay in is not only carrying coronavirus, but might be susceptible to spreading it. That's going to be another big picture. Coming up in the next hour, we are going to look at how the left continues to look for ways to destroy this presidency and using now coronavirus. I find that absolutely appalling. I do. And they're using it also as another way to say President Trump is a racist. Again, absolutely appalling. We're also going to be joined by James Herson from Hollywood. He's got an interesting take on how some of the Hollywood elite are now handling this concern and are their remarks. And, of course, their attacks on President Trump continue. And I'm going to say in these next words, the next words coming in my mouth, they're very self-serving. I will acknowledge that. I happen to think that this program, in general, is an excellent program. But I also think, as today, with what we've done so far today, and what we're going to do in the next hour, is the most comprehensive look at every aspect of coronavirus and how it's being handled, not handled, what to expect, what not to expect, what to fear, what not to fear, that you'll find anywhere on any news outlet broadcast of any type. Now, yes, that's self-serving. I'm not trying to give myself a pat on the back. I'm just trying to say we're doing our damn best to make sure you get everything you need and know. And that includes how the left is politicizing and trying to weaponize coronavirus to be used against the American people on a political level. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll reset a lot of things, and then we will fire off again. As we say at the beginning of this first hour, lock and load, ready on the right.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.